Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we want to continue in our new series of studies, The Riches of God. We've already considered the fact that He is rich in love, and we wish today to consider the wonderful fact that He is rich in mercy. And we will be reading in Ephesians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles near at hand, you may care to follow us in the reading. When we speak of the mercy of God and the riches of God in all of these various subjects we're going to cover, the rich in mercy, rich in grace, rich in glory, rich in wisdom and knowledge, rich in goodness, forbearance, long suffering, rich in provision. When we talk about these riches, we do not think of a large number with a dollar sign in front of it. God's riches are far more precious than this. I think probably the riches, the best way to define His riches is that they define it by the word abundance. Let's change that. Define it by the word superabundance. And it's there for us, for you and for me. That is the thought of richness in the Word of God, is the abundance of God. All right, let's consider now Ephesians chapter 2. We read in verse 1, "And you hath He quickened," pardon me, "who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy," here we have the Ephesian saints, Paul is reminding them, you were dead in trespasses and sin, you walked according to the course of this world, and the prince of the power of the air, Satan, and you were completely given to the enemy of the flesh. You just lived for yourself. You were completely under the domination of sin. But God. Oh, what a pivotal conjunction this is. But God. God steps into the picture. Listen, please. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace." We'll consider that on the next broadcast in full. "The exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now we read of here the fact that He is rich in mercy. Now you notice please, and perhaps you've already noticed, that mercy and grace are linked together in this second chapter of Ephesians. There's a difference, but they work together. I think it is safe to say that in the mercy of God, He takes away that which we could never take away. And in the grace of God, He supplies that which we could never supply. And when we consider mercy and grace, we have covered the full gamut of God's blessing for you and for me. Now let's think, if you will, please, about what God has taken away in regard to our mercy. Well, He has taken away our sin, and we could never remove it by all the good works we did, by all the high intentions that we had, by the fondest dreams that we exercised, by joining a reputable church, by getting baptized, following all the dictates of that church. This will not save the soul. We're not saved by what we can do, and that would never take away sin. You can't wash it away. It can't be done except by the blood of Christ. "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, John tells us in the book of Revelation. Now listen, please, to what God did about our sins. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. We read there, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," on Christ, "the iniquity of us all." God did which we could never do in his mercy. He took away our sins and he laid them upon Christ on the cross of Calvary. And Christ suffered for our sins that we might be delivered from their penalty. Yes, we see the mercy of God at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Christ's mercy to us was that he accepted that burden of sin. We read, for instance, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed." Then we read also in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." Paul says, this isn't my doings. This is not my composition. This is not my words. These are not my words. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now you can see here that we have been relieved from the burden of our sin both by the Father and both by the Son. Christ conquered our enemies. You'll notice that he's delivered us from our enemies, from which we could never deliver ourselves. We read here that we see our threefold enemy in this first verses of the second chapter of Ephesians. Notice, please, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, enemy number one, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, enemy number two. And then we read in verse 4, "Among whom also we had all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." All right, we have the flesh. Threefold enemy. Christ has conquered them all. In John chapter 16, we read in verse 33 of that epistle, or that gospel rather, these words, "These things have I spoken unto you," Christ is the speaker, he's speaking to his disciples, "that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That takes care of enemy number one. All right, he says down farther, back in the 12th chapter of John, verse 31, the Lord tells his disciples there again, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." The prince of the power of the air, Satan himself. He has conquered Satan. He, by dying, slew death. Satan had the power of death, and he used that on Christ, but Christ conquered him. He conquered death by dying. Then he died for us on the cross, that we might be delivered from this old sinful nature that we have. We read in Romans chapter 6, there in verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection." Now notice this verse, please. "Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him," with Christ on the cross, "that the body of sin might be destroyed." That takes care of the flesh. We died with Christ on the cross in the reckoning of God. His death was by proxy for you and for me. He felt the pain. He felt the agony. He felt the separation. But you and I were there by proxy. He did that by proxy for you and for me. And in God's mind, we were on that cross. And that takes care of that old nature. Why? Because of God and Christ's mercy to you and me. Now, let's go on to a positive subject. Christ died for our sins and now lives for us. You know, I've said on this broadcast before, I think that many people hesitate to become Christians because they can't live up to it. They know they can't live up to it. I've got news for such a person. You get help. You get help from God to live the Christian life after you have put your trust in Christ. After you're rejoicing in it and the peace of God floods your soul, you're going to get help. Help from Christ and help from the Holy Spirit. Now we read, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, that help that Christ gives you and me in the matter of living the Christian life. We read there in verse 14, seeing then that we Christians, have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here, mercy and grace are linked together. We get two things when we come to that throne in prayer. We get grace, we get mercy for Him to take away the problems we can't solve, and grace to solve the problems that we can solve in His strength and by His leading and by His guidance. Oh, how richly we have been provided for. Now, I think that the last act of mercy on the part of Christ for the church is to take away these bodies of humiliation of which we read in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, and gives us bodies of glory. He does it. Read that, please. Philippians 3, 20 and 21, and you see what Christ does in His mercy to relieve us from this body of humiliation. And then He delivers us from the world, and He takes us up into heaven. And even in the event of our death, He still grants us mercy because we get rid of the flesh, even if He does not come and take away the church. But when He raptures the church into glory, the mercy of God takes away that which would spoil eternity, and the grace of God supplies us with that nature that appreciates heaven and will rejoice in it for the countless ages of eternity. Oh, how richly God has abounded toward us. The riches of God. Tune in for the succeeding broadcast, we pray, and ask you, and pray that you will, that we might see what God has for us. Father, help us to enjoy Your riches. We pray in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.